Good morning, I'm Jake Sherman, and welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punch Bowl News. It is Friday, May 10th, 2024. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, Speaker Johnson stiffs the Kenyan president. Number two, FAA bill finally clears the Senate. And number three, Max and Andrew on the Nevada Senate race. Let's get into it. Top of Punch Bowl News this morning on Andrew Disidario's birthday, May 10th. The deadline for the FAA. Happy birthday to Andrew. Speaker Mike Johnson has decided against inviting Kenyan President William Ruto to speak to a joint meeting of Congress during his state visit to Washington later this month. Ruto would be the first Kenyan leader to ever address a joint meeting of Congress and the first African leader to do so since the Liberian president spoke in the House chamber in 2006. This is a joint meeting, not a joint session. Brez kept reminding me. I keep screwing this up. I apologize to everybody, but it is a joint meeting. Ruto was elected in 2022, and he'll be in D.C. for a state visit to mark the 60th anniversary of U.S.-Kenyan diplomatic relations. Johnson's decision here is also a direct rebuke of the top two lawmakers in the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Michael McCaul, and Gregory Meeks. Greg Meeks, who urged Johnson on April 30th to extend an invitation for Ruto to address a joint meeting. This is an invitation, according to McCaul and Meeks, that would underscore the importance of the U.S.-Kenya relationship and send a valuable signal to the people of Africa. Clearly, Mike Johnson didn't think the same. Kenya has proved to be a linchpin in heading off Russia's influence in Eastern Africa. It's a stable democracy and a gateway to the region, and the U.S. Is its biggest trading partner. The Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, which was first approved in Bill Clinton's last year in the White House and renewed by Barack Obama, expires this year. That provides duty-free access to the U.S. market for most exports from eligible sub-Saharan African countries. Raj Shah, the deputy chief of staff to Mike Johnson, said that Ruto will have, they've offered the Kenyan embassy over 90 minutes of engagement. That's a quote, including a one-on-one visit with Johnson's bipartisan leadership meeting with the speaker, leader Jeffries, Hakeem Jeffries, committee chair and ranking members, and a bicameral meeting. He said that Shah said, unfortunately, due to scheduling restraints, we could not accommodate a request for remarks before a joint session. It's a joint meeting, as Brez knows, and as I now know. Listen, a joint meeting does take up a lot of energy on the Hill, but it's not as if the House is doing that much. They say they're going to be doing appropriations bills and a whole host of other things. We'll have to see. We'll keep track that week. And also Jeffries is supportive of Ruto addressing Congress. So an interesting dynamic here between the Speaker of the House, the Kenyan government. Ruto is getting a state dinner and is getting kind of the red carpet rolled out for him here in D.C., but not in the U.S. Capitol. Number two story of the morning, the FAA update. With little fanfare, the Senate finally cleared a five-year FAA reauthorization bill Thursday night, 88-4. The four no votes came from Virginia and Maryland, all Democrats, who ultimately lost their efforts, lost their quest to strip the bill of the expansion of Washington, of Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport. Now let's talk about this for a quick second. The DCA, the airport that's just minutes, depending where you are, but about 15 minutes from downtown DC, is slot controlled by Congress. Now, initially, we've talked about this a bunch of times, but I'll remind everybody, initially, Reagan was basically a short-haul airport. Over the years, Congress has peeled back the 1,200-mile radius restriction and has allowed flights west of the Mississippi to Seattle, Los Angeles, Portland, San Francisco, Phoenix, Vegas, Salt Lake City, L.A., Denver, San Juan, Austin, and San Francisco. That is across a bunch of airlines, Alaska, American, Delta, Frontier, JetBlue, Southwest, and United. Delta has been pushing for Congress to add slots to DCA for a while. Now, so initially, the Senate was pushing for 28 additional slots. It's a lot of additional slots. That would be 14, right? 14, yeah, 14 flights, 14 round-trip flights to DCA, to and from DCA. And this bill includes basically 5 round-trip flights, 10 slots. Delta is for it. They've made the argument that important cities in the U.S., San Diego, San Antonio, don't have direct flights from DCA. So a lot of Texas lawmakers, including Ted Cruz, have been supportive of adding those slots. San Antonio is, I think, the 6th largest city in America. They believe, Cruz says, that it deserves a direct flight to the airport closest to Washington, D.C. United is vehemently against this. United has what I would consider, as an aviation geek, a fortress hub at Washington Dulles, which is about 35 to 45 minutes from downtown D.C. You could fly everywhere, including San Antonio, from Dulles. United, if I'm reading the tea leaves, wants to protect that fortress hub at Dulles. American Airlines has a hub at DCA. I guess they call it a focus city, but it's really a hub. They have the vast majority of the flights at DCA. They don't want other people encroaching on their territory at DCA. This is a fascinating issue, to say the least. Why is it fascinating? It's fascinating because it's very rare to see such a vehement fight among the within parties, between parties, between regions, because this doesn't fall within party lines. The Maryland and Virginia delegations basically say DCA is too crowded. It can't handle this additional traffic. We don't want it. It's going to cause safety issues, noise, etc. People like Raphael Warnock, Ted Cruz saying, actually, there's no sense that that is true. We need to open up DC to more cities and more people. Eventually, Ted Cruz won here. There was no amendment to peel back or to change the slot issue in the Senate bill. Now this bill will go to the House, where I'm actually quite certain that the House is going to allow for the House is not going to allow that to be changed, that amendment, that DCA slot amendment. House Republicans are overwhelmingly in favor of expanding Washington DCA. And even though Democrats voted it down in the Republican majority, an amendment to approve the DCA slot expansion failed last year. The House was against it as a whole. This bill is going to go back to the House next week, theoretically. And there's not going to be an amendment to peel it back. So a big win for Ted Cruz and for proponents of the DCA slot expansion, a big loss for United, and a massive issue. We've been covering this for months now, if not actually probably for a year. A massive victory for those who want to expand DCA, including Delta Airlines. Delta's the big proponent behind this. Number 3 story of the morning, I'm going to kick it over to Max Cohen and Andrew DiSiderio to talk about their item about the Nevada Senate race.
Thanks, Jake. I'm here with Andrew DiSiderio, our Senate reporter, we have a great story today on Nevada Senate Republicans and Donald Trump's influence on the party. Andrew, what did we find?
Yeah, Max, it was pretty fascinating. So, you know, Donald Trump has really stayed out of the Nevada primary in stark contrast to other primaries throughout this cycle, where the NRSC and top Republicans here in Washington have really tried to really get Donald Trump on board with their strategy in primaries, which is to find the best general election candidate and support that person, right? With Sam Brown in Nevada, he's always had the backing of the upper echelon of Republican leaders of the NRSC here in DC, obviously. But he has yet to win that formal endorsement from Donald Trump. And we're about a month away from the Nevada primary now. So what this is doing is it's basically causing Sam Brown to tack to the right a little bit, to try to cozy up to Trump. He's making more appearances on right-wing media. He's really changing up his posture here. And I find it interesting because when I went out to Nevada last summer to interview him, he basically laughed off the idea of there even being a competitive primary for this seat. So it's definitely a change in tactics, change in strategy. And it's something that top Republicans here in Washington really don't have an answer for.
And what I found interesting about the story as well is you have this guy called Jeff Gunter running in this primary. He was Trump's ambassador to Iceland. And now he's spending a lot of money. He's a wealthy self-funder, something which Republicans actually have seen a lot of in the Senate map this year. And he's hitting Sam Brown as, quote, owned by McConnell, quote, owned by the swamp in some of his ads. And that's the kind of interesting dynamic here is that while Danes and Republicans have done a good job of getting on board to one candidate, that can almost be seen as, you know, a hindrance in a GOP primary nowadays if Trump doesn't get on board too.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And that's why you're seeing Democrats seize on this too, because they're trying to make the point that with Sam Brown really cozying up to Trump now and seeking his endorsement and going on these far-right media tour, if you will, that he's too extreme of a general election candidate to defeat Senator Jackie Rosen, right? So they're using this to their advantage. You know, one other interesting thing is that I asked Steve Daines, the NRSC chairman, about this dynamic, whether he was concerned about the fact that Trump has yet to endorse Sam Brown in this race. And he basically said, you know, Trump thinks the world of Sam Brown. He knows that he's the candidate he wants to run with when he's campaigning in Nevada for the general election for the presidential race this year. But then when I pressed him and asked, you know, is an endorsement coming? He said, well, that's up to Donald Trump, right? So I think that really captures the concern that Republicans have about this race because, you know, the people that are supporting Sam Brown's opponent, Jeff Gunter, include the likes of Matt Gaetz, the Trump loyalist, right? So there's a lot of dynamics here that are really interesting. And again, this is the last major primary in this cycle for the Senate races.
And that primary is 1 month away in Nevada in the second week of June. And we'll give you much more in this race as that develops. Thank you guys for listening. And we're going to be back every Friday with more updates from our tally special election coverage. Back to you, Jake. Thank you.
And with that, leave us a rating and review. You could subscribe to Punchbowl News at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe.